my guy. It's been so long since you're like an ex-girlfriend of mine. It's been so long.
Yeah, you can't keep coming back, but every time you do, you regret it. Like Arby's or that one girl or, you know.
So, I always enjoy our conversations. I obviously like that it's good for your YouTube channel to just be like, oh, the creationist, bleh, whatever, to build your atheist, like apologetic, you know, brand. I'm glad that I could be a stepping stone for you. So, yeah, I'm sure you'll make a YouTube video, the creationist that stumps Peterson, but he edits that part out.
Yeah, probably.
It's a good idea. All right, so obviously I take the affirmative. Creationism is true. I do live shows where I say creationism is true. Change my mind. So I think the data better supports biblical creation.
Yeah, and I don't think that at all. I think almost all the evidence is contradictory toward it.
Okay, so do you want me to start to relay points, pieces of evidence in favor of creationism?
That's probably a good idea, I guess.
Okay. So, starting with the universe, according to the Bible, God builds a fully formed universe. This is what the James Webb confirms, a fully formed universe. Hierarchical cosmic evolution is done. You can keep believing it if you don't care about data, but we see a fully formed universe that's expanding. So the first two pieces of evidence in favor of biblical creation, fully formed universe that's expanding, just like the Bible says. When we talk about life forms, humans are separate and distinct from the animal kingdom, clearly different than the rest of the animals. I believe we're made in God's image. Just like the Bible says, you believe that we came about through the same process and whatever, we're all the same as the other animals. Obviously, that's not true demonstrably. We can see the difference between humans and animals. All humans descend from one man and one woman, exactly like the Bible says, with mitochondrial Eve and Y chromosomal Adam. We're alpha predators on the earth. Like the Bible says, we'd have dominion over the animals. The things that we see comport with what the Bible says.
Okay, well, there's enough to talk about just there. I'd rather start with the second one. But
whatever, you choose.
Okay, humans are made in God's image as a separate creation, and that we're distinct from the animals. So I see multiple problems with that. One would be, you don't deny the existence of, like, Homo erectus. We'll just go with that one. You don't deny the existence of Homo erectus, right?
No, I would say I don't. Actually, I don't know. Do you want to talk about all the, like, ape fossils? I've seen Donnie's work on it. I don't think it's great. I'm skeptical of common ancestry. Obviously, I don't believe in that. So are there fossils that science thinks are pre-human? Yes, of course, there's those fossils.
Right. Or even Neanderthals.
Neanderthal is human.
Well, it's a species of human. Well, I mean, Homo erectus is a species. No. Homo sapiens and Homo Neanderthalis and Homo sapiens are distinct.
Have they separated them recently? Because last I heard, they hadn't separated them based on normal speciation definition.
Some people, it might be the majority, classify us and them as subspecies. So I think some sources will tell you the full scientific name of Neanderthals is Homo. No shit, that's not right. Now I can't remember off the top of my head. If some say Homo sapiens Neanderthalis, or if they don't, I actually don't remember off the top of my head. But Neanderthals, Homo erectus is actually a better example to use. So you agree that Neanderthals existed. That's fine. You probably agree that Denisovans existed. But like, for Homo erectus, do you think Homo erectus existed?
I don't know, man. I don't want to like say, I don't want to hand wave it away. I don't think there's pre-human ancestors. So I guess we could look at
I know that you disagree that they are our ancestor. And like, you know, Lucy, I assume you think it existed. You just don't think it's our ancestor. That's the question I'm asking you about Homo erectus.
Yeah. I don't have a, I guess I would be agnostic on Homo erectus. I'm happy to do a little bit of research real quick just to give you a better answer than that. But whatever it is that they found, I'm sure there's a fossil. I personally don't think it has anything to do with human descendancy or common ancestry. But we could look into what's the evidence for Homo erectus being a transitional fossil, I guess.
No, I'm, it's not even that. So when I'm critiquing the your creationist perspective on it, mm-hmm. because if humans are a separate creation mm-hmm. and made in God's image, then what's with these things that aren't humans but are ridiculously similar to humans in the creation narrative? Because it's obviously a necessary component of evolution. It's right. absolutely not a component or a prediction of creation.
Sure.
Especially given like the special place that humans apparently hold. So I don't understand what you could possibly do with the information we have about things that are just so closely human, but not Homo sapiens.
Yeah. I didn't expect to talk about Homo erectus. I need to obviously have a better answer for that. But if let's just assume Homo erectus is a very human-like primate. So the idea would be we go from Lucy, and I think she's obviously very short, and I think the pelvis is, I think the information there is pretty sparse. I mean, I'm not a fan of Donald Johansson, potentially manipulation of the pelvis, potentially interpretation of the knee. But let's say, so I don't think she would have been an ancestor of human, but let's say she was. Let's say Homo erectus, you know, is something in between the two. That's obviously very good evidence in favor of evolution. So that's a good thing for you to bring up. The critique I would have is then we end up with Homo sapien and Homo neanderthalus, which at one point Neanderthalus was, we were told it was a caveman, and Ooga Booga when I was a kid, you know, it was like, oh, this caveman. And then we find out that he was very, very human-like, if not entirely Homo sapien. I know there's a debate whether or not that they were the same or not. But we see Homo sapien, and according to the official narrative, 300,000 years ago, they become fully Homo sapien, and for 295,000 years, they just kind of hunt and do whatever, and then all of a sudden civilization begins 5,000 years ago. I bring all that up because, to me, if there is a gradual whatever development from primate into human, it seems unlikely that we would eventually go from Homo sapien to really advanced civilizations, and there'd be this 295,000 years.
I got to interrupt you because you're not talking about Homo erectus. So I'm looking for, what is the creationist explanation for God created us separately?
Right.
Why did God create these things that are very nearly human, but not human? What's going on with that?
I can't speak on Homo erectus. I haven't researched it. So we could look at it together a little bit. Have they found a bunch of these fossils? Is it conclusive? Is it like Java Man where they have like a skull cap and a femur? How extensive is the fossil record of Homo erectus?
It's pretty extensive. I mean, we've found it like all across Asia. I would assume we've found some of them in Africa too. I can get a quick answer for you. But I mean, I'm happy to do it, but if you don't have anything to say about it, then I'd rather actually just move on.
Well, I'm leery of the ape to human ancestors, and obviously there's bias there. Again, Lucy's supposed to be this huge moment where she becomes bipedal, and there's questions about Donald Johansson's discovery in the pelvis and the knee. Those are the things that are supposed to distinguish that she was upright. She was 32 inches tall or whatever. So I'm leery of her. Homo erectus, I know that we have the Java Man. I don't know how much has been found, but if I'm being fully transparent, I'm leery that the evidence supports that Homo erectus was what science is saying it is.
Yeah, I know you are, but I'm asking you to tell me then what is it? But I mean, you're just not. And for the record, the Neanderthal thing, apparently the classification of them as Homo sapiens Neanderthalus was actually the older view. Today, they're considered totally distinct species, and like you can look at our skeletons and tell they don't have chins. We do. We're the only ape that ever developed a chin for whatever reason. That's
Neanderthalus just doesn't have a chin. Is that what you're saying?
No, if you look at their mandible, it's smooth. It doesn't flare at the bottom. We're the okay. only primate that ever evolved that for whatever reason.
Neanderthal has a smooth mandible, or we have a whatever. Okay, that's of all the things that I talk about, I'm not really well versed on the ape fossils. So
I can show you real quick. It's actually interesting.
My understanding is Homo Neanderthal had a slightly different facial structure to us, but was fairly close to identical to us.
Yeah, I mean it's the closest thing to us that there ever was. So
sure.
But there's still like a definite, I wouldn't be able to do it, but a trained zoologist could look at a lion and a tiger skeleton and know how to tell you that one of them would be able to diagnose one from the other. This isn't the greatest quality picture, and the human skull isn't.
Oh, so it was a giant.
It doesn't show it very well.
Is it a Nephilim?
No, I kind of doubt that. But yeah, they have way more pronounced brow ridges than we do. And then this chin it's not a very good one, but you can see it just slopes away, whereas ours flares out more. After more than 1,000 debates, I've compiled all the knowledge you need to debunk the arguments you hear from my guests into a book. Rational Answers to Stupid Questions covers evolution, the Big Bang, creationism, flat Earth, and more. Order using the link below, and I will personally sign and ship you a copy today. But misinformation comes in many forms. My other book, Facts That Aren't True, debunks hundreds of false claims ranging from the human body, history, nature, animal facts, and more. I promise you'll find something in here that you've been wrong about for years.
If Homo erectus is valid, and the question is, why would God make something like Homo erectus that was very human-like?
Yeah, because like they could suffer.
I would say it's really
good
evidence for evolution.
Yeah, it obviously is evidence of evolution. Now, if it's evidence of creation, then we have to have some sort of explanation for what it's doing there, why it's there. And I just think you're going to come up with a really tortured theistic explanation because it's going to be so close to human. So then why wasn't there a more monkey like Jesus that was sacrificed to save them?
Right.
They had the ability to think and suffer pretty close to the capacity we had. Probably, why would God forsake them, or do they go to heaven? I mean,
never try to torture the data. So that's not a goal of mine. That's why I'm saying if Homo erectus was very human-like, but closer to great ape, what I can concede is that's good evidence for evolution. So this discussion is evidence for evolution, evidence for creation. So I can award you a point that's good evidence for evolution. So, okay, I can muddle through Homo erectus again. I know Java Man it's a sparse sample size. It's a skull cap and some other things. I would want to look into it, and I'm not prepared to respond to that. So I would just say that's good. If biblical creation is true, there shouldn't be human hybrid primates because that's very much a point in favor of evolution.
Yeah, Java Man is Homo erectus. That's just like a very famous example of one of the Homo erectus they found, but like there's over the.
And what have they found of Java Man? It's like a skull cap, right? And a bone. It's
yeah, of that specific one, but the ChatGPT is telling me there's over 100 known specimens of Homo erectus that we've found.
Shards of bone, like fragments of bone, or like actually separate animals? Because they say the same thing with Australopithecus. They go, oh, we have 400 specimens, and it's like 400 shards of like one or two things they found. So again, I don't want to just go full-blown conspiracy, but I'm leery of 400 shards.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes an individual is like Gigantopithecus. We only know of its existence because of teeth. But those teeth are enough to know that it's definitely something that doesn't match anything else that's in the fossil record. That much we can know about that. So like, yeah, for specimens,
like Nebraska Man,
it's like when you talk about like, this is going to be a weird pivot, but like when they say casualties of war, you think death, but no, that's wounded and killed. So yeah, specimens can mean like literally we just find a tooth that can count. But if they're found in completely different locations or in different strata, then we know like, well, yeah, this one, like let's I don't want to get too deep into it. I think people understand.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get lost in the weeds of this.
The other thing about human creation is that I don't really think, like, I get that's what the Bible says, but I don't think there's really, there isn't much of a way to test that. But I think that there actually is kind of a way to test it. And I think it essentially falsifies creation in a big way. And it kind of proves evolution in a big way, because I don't know if you ever make this claim that evolution is unfalsifiable. Some people do say that. I think that's really silly. Now, it's true that today we know so much about evolution that whenever somebody brings up like a new study that finds something that seems to contradict evolution, we typically say this does not disprove all the stuff we already know. So it sounds like we're saying it's unfalsifiable, but evolution was actually, could have been falsified around 100 years ago, and it would have been the easiest thing in the world to do. Because evolution, like with the missing links, those have to be there if evolution is true. Now, like, I get that you can make the argument that just God created all of the creatures, so all the creatures we find are just God's creation. It doesn't prove one thing or the other. Fine. But the thing that would have for sure disproven evolution was the genetic hierarchies and the relatedness between organisms. That would have totally falsified it. Instead, it came true in basically exactly the way we thought it would. And the creationist lens to this with the whole common designer thing, I think fails so many tests that it's a really huge problem.
This is exactly the last conversation we had. So the two pieces of evidence you have for evolution, because we know the fossil record doesn't support it at the level it should. It should be innumerable transitional fossils. There's a handful. So what we're looking at, vestigiality is not a good talking point anymore. Junk DNA isn't. So we've got genetic similarity and the, human ape transitionals.
I'll write that down for later.
It's not. It was something they wanted to use, but now they're figuring out that it's mostly code that they just didn't know what it was doing. But the prediction was that there would be a bunch of code that was a result of, you know, millennia, generations, thousands of generations of mutations. And so, but it turns out that it was just things happening that we didn't know. But anyways, so yeah, the evidence for evolution is Homo erectus and is genetic similarity. Homo erectus, I have no good answer for. If it's legitimately, I don't want to just marginalize science, but if it's a legitimate specimen, that's a good piece of evidence for evolution. The genetic similarity thing, I do agree with the genetic, the common designer, because software programmers reuse code all the time. It's a best practice. So I wouldn't expect a primate that is similar to us physiologically to have novel genetic information. Why would you build an entirely novel gene code for something that has similar physiology? I don't see why they. If the instruction set says build a bone, that build a bone. I'm simplifying this dramatically, but if it's build a bone, then the bone building plan for them and the bone building plan for us should be reused. It's a best practice for software coders to do that. So
the problem with using like a code thing is you believe in separate creation. There actually is no expectation that anything would be shared, because God's perfectly within God's purview and his power and his nature, whatever, to just do it all completely differently. To anthropomorphize God in this way is really kind of to undermine God as an answer. But when you put it this way, you're making your evidence indistinguishable from mine. We know for certain that if the genetic hierarchies and the correlation between phenotype and genotype collapsed, we know that would have proven evolution false. When you say, but God could do this, it's also the case that God, because the creations are separate, they would have absolutely nothing at all in common. That is also true. So this argument about code doesn't really elevate the theistic or the creation account, really. It doesn't elevate it in any way. And I don't think it really preserves it very well, because I don't know hardly anything about coding. I asked a quick little question to the AI overlord here because I outsource all my thinking to this. It's smarter than me. Praise our overlords. Hail Sam Altman. Hail Peter Thiel. Whatever. But
make friends with them. That's a good move. Like, yeah.
Linux and Windows do almost exactly the same kinds of things. You can create folders. You can whatever people do on computers. I don't know. You can't actually translate hardly any of the code between them.
Totally, and those are code systems.
Separate creations, completely different codes. That's the kind of thing I would actually expect if we have separate creation. I wouldn't have any expectation that the genetic code would actually be transferable between them.
Right. So you think God wouldn't do that, and I think he would. And obviously the reality is
there's no expectation of it.
Well, I can make an argument for it, and I've seen, obviously, the comments in the chat. Has he talked about Minecraft yet? But, you know, I'm a simulation guy.
I hope we don't. I don't want to go to Minecraft.
Yeah, well, we probably... I don't want to go that route. But I think we're in an information fundamental reality, and what's fundamental to life is information. And so if you look at creation like a computer program, like a programmer, and if the best practices for human code writers is to reuse code where they can... You can make the argument that especially if we're made in the image of God, that we would do something similar. You could Google it, or I could show my screen and I could Google it. Do software programmers reuse code? Yes, all the time.
Yeah, I'm sure they
Why do
yeah.
they reuse code? It's the best efficient. Practice.
Yeah.
God does not
have human limitations.
He's an efficient God. Well, he's shown that over and over through his creation, through his attributes. I don't agree with the omni attributes, but I would agree that he's efficient, and he's very legal minded. He's very attention to detail. So it just like again at the end of the day with this argument
at all,
you would say God wouldn't do it, and I would say God would do it. And I mean, if you want to make a scriptural argument for which one is more likely to be true, I think that mine is going to be better. Yours is just a subjective take on who you perceive a God you don't believe in to be. But the idea for the code to be the same. Would be the best practice, and I don't see why he wouldn't do that.
If you want to make that argument that God does this thing with DNA because God is efficient, or God is what did you say? You said legally minded, efficient, that's actually contradictory to what we know about life. God, for some reason, created life to be extraordinarily wasteful. We just know that energy is lost at every step in the system. Like God made it so you can't live unless you eat, and eating creates poop, and poop has germs, and it's really nasty for you. And we kind of only fairly recently.
I love eating, and I don't mind pooping. The issue with either of those? What does it have to do with God?
It's extremely inefficient. So Eric, the biological observation...
60% of our entire economic system is based on us eating and pooping. That's like the vast majority of what humans do on the earth to stay busy and to exchange services.
Yes, I know, but there's absolutely no reason for it to be that way. And if DNA has the structure it does across species because God's interested in efficiency, then why did God create life to be unbelievably inefficient, like Rubisco... that's the carbon fixing enzyme for plants and photosynthesis. Why did God create it to be the most inefficient enzyme, like imaginable almost? And why is it that we waste? Like, fine, eating is great. I like to eat, but imagine if we were like entirely, if we didn't have to poop because we're just entirely resource efficient or whatever. So you only had to eat
way out of my
once a year and you just evaporated all of your food waste instead.
I've never done a cost benefit analysis on pooping, but I think it's a good system.
It's a conspiracy by big plumbing.
Yeah, exactly. It was plumbing that started this. So I think that God is efficient, and I think that if we don't want to use the efficiency argument, which there's obviously some subjectivity there, I'll just use the argument that we're made in his image, and it's what we do. And so we do the things that he does because we're like him, just like kids do what their dad does. But again, if you should Google it just for fun, or let me do it. It's do software programmers reuse code? Yes. Why? And it's the industry standard, and it's for many, many reasons. I think it would be ridiculous to expect God to create an individual, unique 4 billion base pair code for all 8 million animals on the Earth. That seems like a utterly ridiculous task.
Well, but if the opposite were the case, then it would simply proclaim his power and his majesty, which is the argument that Christians make when we go, okay, look, you guys thought that the whole universe, like everybody, it wasn't like uniquely Christian, but everybody thought the whole universe was just the stuff we can see with the naked eye. What the hell is the deal with God creating trillions of galaxies? Well, we can't, hundreds of billions of galaxies in the observable universe and all this other stuff. It's incredibly wasteful. And people wasteful. Countered that with, oh, that's just God proclaiming his great power and his majesty and his ability. Yes. It's like, we would see, yeah. That would be the explanation if life was the opposite way that we're talking about now. And so again, it's not, it doesn't, okay. If it was so the opposite, we would still claim that there's evidence of it.
An infinite universe with infinite galaxies shows how massive and how much power he has, obviously, to create an infinite universe. So the heavens declare the glory of God. Building an efficient DNA gene code.
Glory of God. Yeah, but in the same way.
To me, it shows the brilliance of God for him to build inner working information systems that are efficient and optimized. Like, to me, it would be like, and again, this is just you and I both judging God. I think, and I believe God is good. And so obviously I go, good job here, chef. Nice meal you've prepared. And you go, this is terrible. It's undercooked. So we're both, you know, critiquing the chef or whatever. But in your scenario, he builds a unique gene code for everyone to show how powerful he is. And in my scenario, he reuses code where he can to be efficient, and it's optimized, and that's a brilliant move. So whatever, we're just subjective.
If humans went around, and every time they tried to make a toothpick, they ended up making the Taj Mahal, we would say, that doesn't actually make any sense. But if they had godly power, there would be no real reason to critique it, because it's like, this doesn't get in the way of anything. Humans are efficient because of our limit, because of the limitations that we have. But God doesn't have those limitations. So to apply it to God is just a little bit strange. I want to keep talking about DNA, but in a
let's move
design
on.
And DNA, but in a different lens.
We need to do like a 15-hour VOR planet, VOR VPP debate, because
we
do like 30
minutes left.
I know, and then we never get anywhere. And this is like one tiny bit that we both get stuck on because we want to win the single point.
I think this has actually gone at a fairly decent pace, but okay. I'm gonna make it go even more crazy because of my time constraint. But anyways, the other thing with
we're talking about the evidence for creation, and so if Homo erectus is a legitimate fossil and it looks like it's a human ape hybrid, then that's good evidence for evolution. Good evidence for creation is that, according to the official narrative, 300,000 years of anatomically modern human, and humans don't develop even into agriculture. And then all of a sudden, bingo bongo, 5,000 years ago, highly advanced civilizations, agriculture, strong grasp of language, advanced civilizations like Egypt to start cropping up, kind of simultaneously, very quickly. So what does that data better fit? Does that data better fit that for 294,000 years, humans were chasing each other with spears and then they'd figured out everything and it just took off like gangbusters? Or the biblical narrative that the boat landed in Mesopotamia, Samaria, 5,000 to 6,000 years ago, and civilization, humans started repopulating the earth when and where the Bible predicted. So that piece of evidence, so even if I grant you Homo erectus, civilization beginning 5,000 to 6,000 years ago and being very advanced very quickly better fits the prediction in the Bible than 294,000 years of hunting and gathering. That there's no evidence for.
Well, I don't think so, because I don't know how interrupted the archaeological evidence for people in the New World and Australia is, but it certainly precedes the age of the earth according to creationism. And it also works directly against the idea that everybody died in the flood at a certain time. I mean, even the Bible contradicts that, because the number of years between the flood and like the construction of the Tower of Babel is so absurdly low that you would need every single human on earth to be having like 100 babies, and all
of
their 100 babies having babies too.
So you're right, but that's because a lot of young earth creationists adhere to the Masoretic timeline, which is a huge mistake, and I'm trying to correct people. That's why I don't agree with standing for truth or answers in Genesis or any of these guys, they make some big mistakes, in my opinion, and that's one of them. So the Septuagint chronology, which is the much older chronology, has the flood at 5,300 years ago and the Tower of Babel at like 4,400 years ago. It's like 800 years from the flood to the Tower of Babel, exactly the amount of time we would expect to really get a lot of people on the earth with exponential population growth.
I have never heard the argument presented in that way. Completely unequipped for it, have no idea if the calculations work out, and it doesn't really have much to do with what we're trying to debate here. So unfortunately, we'll just have to table that.
I hear you. But if you want to look into it, Septuagint chronology has the creation account at 7,500 years ago and the flood at 5,300 years ago. It's the earlier manuscript. And all of these things, tree ring dating, the pyramids, the Tower of Babel, all these things fit perfectly in it, which is why I've tried to, I told Dr. Jason Lyle he has to stop using that. I've talked to the other guys, the guys at Standing for Truth. They need to stop using the mass prophetic timeline. It's ridiculous. So, I understand you haven't researched that, but we'd have no problem with the Tower of Babel and the amount of people we would have needed. There's plenty of hundreds and hundreds of years.
Sure. We can't belabor this point too much because there, I don't know enough off the top of my head for it. But what you'd have to reckon with is there's certainly going to be evidence of people all over the world within a period of only like mere decades, or maybe 100 or 200 years within the time frame of when everybody was supposed to have died, and that's going to be a enormous problem for the story there. Unless you're just going to claim Native Americans are Nephilim, which I don't think anybody should do that.
No, they're not. But
some do.
I don't even want to go there because there's like Indian giants. I've been researching the whole Smithsonian conspiracy. I know you love that one. Stay tuned for that, my research on that. But anyways, I think the natives were descendants of Japheth and humans. So the issue that you have, their accounts, what's crazy is the oral histories of these people don't have them going back hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands of years. The oral histories are actually pretty closely aligned to the biblical account. I mean, some telephone game stuff here, but it's science that comes by later and says, no, this is when they migrated. This is when that happened. And this gets into molecular clock and radiometric dating and some of these other ideas. But the natives don't have an account that they've been there for 30,000 years or something.
Let's see.
Yeah, now let's look it up. According to Native American oral history.
I thought of the Maya because they obviously have the long count calendar. Mm-hmm. And this is telling me that their creation date is 3114 BC, according to the Gregorian calendar.
Which is, 5,100 years, which is 180 years after the flood, based on Septuagint chronology. A lot of these things line up remarkably well with that.
8,800, then what was about at this time? I don't know if we know a lot about. But that doesn't tell you. Well, is that when the creation of the world was supposed to be? What did I actually ask? Okay. Well, they're not really talking about how old the Earth is. Like in that view, that's just like their idea of how old civilization, their people, are in a sort of sense, which. That would be, I mean, it is kind of funny how it matches up, but that's still really deeply inconvenient because it's like, okay, well, everybody gets wiped off the planet and then Mayans are repopulate. So now whoever the Mayans are, in the time of like the Romans, whoever the Mayans were at that time, are not the descendants of people that were living in the Yucatan Peninsula before the flood. They're the descendants of Noah. Those are the only options. So the idea that they trace their ancestry not back to Noah is like really, really, really deeply inconvenient. Far, far away.
So I don't know about the Mayan specifically, but there are a surprising amount of ancient people that claim descendancy from the sons of Noah. The people in Gomer, which is Comeru, which ends up being the UK, they're in their tradition, they're descendants of Gomer, which was the son of Japheth, the son of Noah, and they basically sailed up to the UK and they built all of the runic, you know, big megaliths and those things that you find in that area. And according to their own internal history, they were practicing the antediluvian religious system, which is really interesting, which would tie into like even some giants stuff. But so the Kushites, the descendants of Cush in Africa, lived in the land of Cush, which was the son of Canaan. The Romans, I did a deep study on the migration of humans out from Mesopotamia, according to the biblical history. And there's so many names. Like, here's a quick name. Tobilsky, which is in, I think, Romania or Russia in that area. According to them, it's called Tobilsky from Tubal Cain, who settled that land. And there's like, it's great. There's a lot of evidence that actually of people around the world for hundreds and hundreds of years who have said that they are part of the migration outside of from the descendants of Noah. I don't know about the Mayans, though.
They don't think that. And what this I read a little bit of this while you were talking. Apparently, what they believed is before 3114 BC or whatever, the gods tried to create humans out of like mud and things like that, but they were always imperfect. And then
sounds like the Nephilim.
Yeah, like a lot of cultures, and tragically, there's just so much about the Maya we don't know. You know, because. True. For all kinds of reasons, but like for a lot of cultures, I did a deep dive on calendars. I wanted to know, like, when do Hindus count the first year? When do Buddhists count the first year? When do like all these different groups count the very first year? And for a lot of them, it just has to do with some sort of significant cultural event, but they don't believe that was the first moment in history. The Jews believe that. But apart from that, the others, it really doesn't work that way. I looked into the Persian calendar and all that.
Not true at all.
I don't remember.
There's over 200 civilizations that tell the story of an apocalyptic flood. In a lot of cases, the god or the gods are mad and they commission a guy to build a boat and it saves the animals. It's like, if we look it up, so over 200 ancient civilizations of this flood, including the natives with
Wayabunuzu. I didn't argue that that's not the case.
Okay, well, if the flood happened, everybody would get off. As people migrated out from Europe, they would tell the story. Yeah, there was this huge fucking flood. That's what happened. And we're like, that was crazy. God was mad, and now we're like rebuilding, whatever. That's what they would say. And that's what they actually say. Like, they should. What kind of weird internet fever dream, you know, synchronous false memory are these 200 civilizations having that they all tell the same story? And people go, oh, no, it's because of the ice dam floods. Well, the ice dams floods maybe were a result of the actual flood and the receding floodwaters. I digress. Okay, ice dam floods, when a huge amount of water goes down your valley and wipes out everybody, nobody quickly builds a boat and grabs the animals and rides down the river and relocates. You don't do that. You just go, holy shit, our village got destroyed. Let's build a new one. You don't, you're like, oh, the whole world was destroyed. No, it's like our valley. Do you see that? That was a crazy flood.
Yeah, but the reasons for the floods, for the flood happening, are going to be different across them. Like for Gilgamesh, it's not to like wipe humanity out to restart it or anything like that. There's also, I can't remember. I really hate myself for not remembering, but I actually interviewed Josh Bowen about the flood. And he tells me like one of the specific motivations behind one of the gods unleashing the flood is actually like the exact opposite of, in a way there's, it's like the exact opposite of something that goes on in the Noah narrative. And I can't remember the exact detail of that, unfortunately. I should go watch the video.
So I just Googled
again.
It just for fun. Do the Mayans have a flood myth? This is AI overview, so who knows? Yes, the ancient Maya, particularly the K'iche Maya, a Mayan people, have prominent flood myths in their sacred texts, especially the Popai Vuh, I got that right, detailing how the gods destroyed failed human creations of mud and then wood with great floods and monstrous creatures because they failed to worship their creators.
Yeah, the imperfect
eventual creation
people.
Of current humans from corn. So it's better than evolution. These myths involve cosmic cycles of destruction and renewal. Yeah, so
children
the
of
Mayans
the corn.
Have that too. Yeah, Children of the Corn.
Yeah, Children of the Corn is an inspired text, because, and we know this because the Mayans agree with it.
Well, you believe a version of that. I mean, we're related to corn, right? So,
well, we share genes with corn. That's what being related means.
Yeah, so we share genes with them, so we're related to the corn. So they believe we came from corn, and you believe that we're related to corn. It's not that big. It's not big of a difference.
Yeah, they predicted evolution. Yeah,
see, and a flood. They're both right.
Yeah,
they're right about both things.
What do you want? What do you want to talk about next?
Because I've
picked every topic.
Yeah, I want to. How much time do we have? 10 minutes? 5 minutes?
About 15.
Okay. So the biblical creation account, so far we've covered fully formed universe that's expanding. We've covered humans that are separate and distinct from the animals. You got a point with Homo erectus, but I argue very different than the animal kingdom. You know, we're on TikTok arguing how we get here and building rockets and going into space. And most of the animals aren't thinking those kind of things. So maybe the physiology is similar, but our conscious is clearly different. And to me, there's no good evolutionary explanation. What, our brains evolved bigger or something? Like, wouldn't that always be an advantage? That, to me, the consciousness difference between humans and the other 8 million animals shows that there's something different. And so, again, I'm arguing that the evidence better fits this. And if common ancestry is true, we should be like them. We shouldn't be so separate and distinct, I don't think.
Better fits the Bible. Except if evolution were true, then because we're the most modern organism, we would be the most extreme example of a particular trait that is shared within our group. And if you want to point to intellect, then yeah, like we would be the most extreme. What you would expect to see then is, you know, if we pick our intellect isn't exactly a phenotype, you can't exactly see it.
Right.
But like if we pick something like our gargantuan brains, right? We definitely have a transition of smaller brain cases, more upright posture, leading to us. So like we have evidence consistent with that. For this intellect thing, we should see that. And we do. Like Homo habilis, that name means handyman because we now understand that it had a toolkit. I don't know if that one specifically is part of the older one or if the older one toolkit was used by Homo habilis or not. I don't remember. But Homo habilis, Homo erectus, and Neanderthals all did that kind of thing. Not to the level that we can, and I think that there actually are actually pretty convincing and really not super complicated explanations for how we got to where we are. But no, we actually do see a gradual progression from more kind of primitive types of tool use and perhaps even abstract thinking all the way to where we are.
Yeah, maybe he had tools. And they had tools, and then they built the pyramids. And there's no transitional, you know, evidence between tool man and the pyramids. So whatever that mystery is, and when I was a kid, it was like, oh, how are we building these pyramids? It's really wild because I believed that I was told evolution. I don't know if I ever believed it, but I was like, oh, according to evolution, we were like cavemen and we were getting smarter, and then we build these pyramids. But how are they so advanced? So I would think that a tool man habilis. It doesn't really move the needle for me when there's no good chain of custody, evolutionarily speaking, for this evolution of our technological advancement. And then here we are building these really advanced
things around the world at the same time. Homo habilis at its time was the most intellectually advanced creature on the planet and was probably not the only toolmaker, but the most sophisticated toolmaker. Sure. And then Homo erectus took that farther. And then us and Neanderthals existed at the same time, but we took it farther than they did because we're different in
a
certain type of way.
I don't believe that at all. I mean, obviously, I don't believe this story, but like, what did you guys find? I mean, I'm not going to like ask you to provide the evidence, but I doubt that the evidence supports that story you just told. Like, I doubt it. I don't even know what you'd be seeing from millions of years ago. It's like, well, he was the dominant guy and he had tools.
So are you just denying that Homo habilis used tools?
I am going to go ahead and just deny the whole story you just said. Maybe they have tools. Sure, they had tools. Whatever, maybe.
Well, you should read about the Oldowan tool set. I don't remember all of the details off the top of my head, but it goes back a few million years.
Did he die and he was holding his fucking Sears tool set, like in his fossilized position?
No, the Oldowan, I mean, for the most part, it's just, let's see. Yeah, so like they literally made I was trying
AI generated fossil with like
a no, this fossil isn't well this this is kit. AI, but these are pictures pulled from Google. But the Oldowan sure. toolset includes I didn't know off the top of my head. I was like, it's not just rock hammers, is it? But no, it actually has like these are like that's not really an arrowhead. It's not a flint knife like what you would associate with a Native Sozzle. American or something. But these tools are used for doing things like processing kills or processing maybe like fibers to make material. Like right. orangutans make beds.
Yeah, I see so, like, a sewing machine and a sawzall and a power drill. Yeah.
No, you wouldn't expect.
How do we know that
you wouldn't they expect had that? To see that? Because they're more primitive than we are, but we have the stepping stones for it.
But what?
But you know what's crazy about humans? Homo habilis
was using those tools. Like I just like, again, I don't believe the story. In my bias, I have a hard time imagining that.
Well, they're actually using they're using a watchmaker argument for it actually, because those tools, they have very strong arguments, like statistical arguments, but also they can analyze like what's on them. Like you can find animal blood probably and stuff like that on sure. a lot of them. But they look at that and they say, this is obviously the work of a creator, funny enough.
I agree. Well, yeah, things that look designed well, are usually well, designed by something.
Yeah, so then they're tool
I don't disagree that something with a conscious mind built those tools. They do seem like they were fashioned. And again, when we go to the argument
5 minutes ago, you said, I'm going to go ahead and doubt the entire thing.
Well, yeah, because at this moment, with this new evidence that we're talking about, I am skeptical that we confirm that these tools were built by Homo habilis. I don't know. I can't even imagine what evidence would compel me to believe that. What?
Well, they're dated to the period of Homo habilis and in the same location.
Those aren't radioactive.
I know. What you do is you find
date those things.
Yeah, but you can date. Well, you wouldn't be able to use charcoal for this case, but what you can date nearby. In this case, you'd have to use igneous.
So what if we found out that those tools were found close to surface level? Would that shoot the whole argument to shit if we found that? Homo habilis tools where
things on the surface can be millions of years old. That's the only way we find fossils for the most part. Is they're at or very near the surface.
Why would I believe that something at the surface is millions of years old if we're talking about stratigraphy?
Well, because erosion happens. At the surface,
but the thing that eroded is gone. You don't see it. You just know that it's the layer still, even though it's at the surface because something was there that disappeared?
Essentially, yeah. I mean, like, we just know for a fact that erosion happens. I mean, go to any desert and look at the rock formations, and what you can see is the rocks at the top, most of what's around them is worn away. I mean, we know that erosion happens. But the other thing about my alarm just went off, so I have to go in like 2 minutes here. But
yeah, I know.
I got my time all screwed up. I was thinking I had until about 4:20. I don't have that long. But the thing about
what are you doing at 4:20? Just kidding. kidding.
That's funny.
It's 8 o'clock here, and the sun's been down for 3 hours. 4 o'clock doesn't seem like we're on the same Earth at this point. But yeah,
funny. Yeah, West Coast, best coast, but. The thing you East like Coast, the East thing Coast. You say about humans and the intellect about humans and like, oh, I didn't see any sewing machines. It's like, you know who else didn't have a sewing machine? Adam, Abraham, Moses, yeah, Noah, clothes. Jesus. So therefore, apparently we're actually not we're not the intellectual powerhouse you think we are. What's very weird, and everybody does this. This isn't like a creationist thing. Not everybody does this, but people give credit to the human race for the accomplishments of the smartest 0.001% of our people that ever lived or whatever. If the million smartest people who ever lived never did live, where would we be? I think we would be nowhere close. We'd be like in the Bronze Age, I believe. Because we only progress through the accumulation of knowledge and building upon it. But the vast majority of people don't ever contribute to that. And they just, for whatever reason, don't end up being lucky enough or having the inspiration or the training right. or the intelligence to add to what we're doing. So, yeah, we spent the vast majority of our time using rock tools, and then we graduated to some bronze, and then we graduated to some iron. But like, just take the gap between the Iron Age and the Industrial Revolution and look at how much time that is. It's like, what were we waiting for? There is no reason, if we are as smart as the creationists are telling us we are, there's no reason that Jesus couldn't have had a Bugatti. There's no reason. I think a naturalistic explanation does a lot more for that. But I'll give you like,
I think that
I'll give you like, yeah, a I'll minute, but I really, yeah, yeah, really sure. have to go.
The defeater for that to me is the pyramids and the other highly advanced things that we see that don't fit this slow evolutionary process. Now, if there wasn't something like the pyramids, and we did just go from these, you know, Homo habilis tools to slightly better tools, and then, you know, the Industrial Revolution and this thing's gradual move, but we don't see that. We see this huge spike of this advancement. And what science says the reason for this is agriculture. We didn't do agriculture. We were just spending all of our resources hunting and gathering. The evidence, they have sparse evidence to support that idea. There's a dearth of evidence for that. But then we figured out agriculture, and then we hit the ground running. But anyways, I would love to have a longer discussion with you at some point. I don't know. We could text about it or just try to set it up, because we have way more to talk about and we never have enough time.
Yeah, sounds good to me. I will
All right, Eric. Nice
catch you on the flippity flap.
Yep. Bye.
This video and all my videos is on my Patreon ad-free, and you can get a free copy of my first book by being a member too. Plus, your name will appear in the end credits. Thank you.